Welcome to our family first Sunday. Yes, all of that. We are glad you are here. And I want to share with you, we always, if you're visiting with us, we always start out with children's worship. We always start out with one of our Bridge Kids worship song. And I had another pastor say, well, do you feel like you're kind of shortchanging your adults in the room? Did y'all listen to the truths of that song? God made you. He made you fearfully and wonderfully, and God doesn't make mistakes. Like, I'm not shortchanging you at all with that. Plus, y'all get permission to move, which is kind of fun. But anyway, and that's what I want to invite us into today, with that expectancy that even as we are introduced to Ollie and the and Ollie's message today before the rest of the message, that God has something for every person in this room in this 7 minutes. Like, it's not just for our kiddos. They are learning truths that if we and adults could walk in the truths they're learning, we would live more abundantly, I gotta tell you. So with that, let me introduce you and invite you to meet Ollie.
Ooh, ooh, know what time it is?
Time to hear a story. So much fun we'll have learning together. So let's go down to the clubhouse with Ollie and his friends. Let's go down to the clubhouse where wonder never ends at the Wonder Clubhouse.
Me and you
at the Wonder Clubhouse.
Me and you.
Da-da-da. Hi, friends. It is I, Super Lucy! I love my super kid costume because when I'm wearing it, I can do super big things. Stuff like, I can be a super thinker. You can be a super thinker with me. Ready? Think, think, think. Wow, great thinking, everyone. With my super kids costume, I can do big things like lifting towers of dirty dishes in both hands to the dishwasher and beyond. I can even rescue wild animals. Be free, little one. What other super things can I do?
Hoo, hoo.
It's Ollie.
Hello, Lucy. Hoo, hoo. Doing lots of big things, are you?
Oh, hi, Ollie. I'm thinking of all the super stuff I can do when I'm a super kid.
It's fun to be super. It's true. I know who made you to do big things. Hoo, hoo. Listen to this story. Just follow me through. Hoo, hoo.
Follow me through. Follow me through.
I use this one, or is this the best one to use?
Oh, hola, friends. I'm Luis, the handyman. I'm working on a big job later today, and I'm trying to choose the very best screwdriver to use. Sometimes it's so hard to choose. That reminds me of today's story. Do you want to help me build it? Great. Let's put it on the story fence. Hammers up, little builders. Ready? Uno. Dos, tres, hammer! Great job, little helpers. You can put your hammers down. Now we just need our story tools. Yep, we have everything we need. Today's true story from the Bible begins with a man named Samuel. God told Samuel that he was going to pick the next king. So Samuel went to this house because one of the brothers would be the next king. Now, if you were looking for a king, you'd probably want someone, really smart, right? Like this guy. Or
someone strong.
Like him. Or someone older with experience. Or maybe someone like this guy. Or this one. Or this one. Or this one. Phew. Samuel knew that choosing the next king was a big job. He also knew that God made him to do big things. He trusted that God would help him find the next king. So, Samuel looked at all the brothers, but God didn't choose any of them. Samuel asked Jesse, the father of the house, if there were any more brothers. Jesse said there was one more brother that wasn't home yet. He was out in the field watching over the sheep. Send for him, Samuel said. We will not sit down until he comes. So the brothers waited and waited and waited until finally their brother, David, came home. Wait a minute. David's just a kid. He's so young. Do you think he can be the next king? Let's see. God told Samuel that David should be the next king. Well, not because of the way David looked on the outside, but because of his heart on the inside. David loved God with all his heart. And that's what God wanted for the new king. Samuel listened to God and told David that God made him to do big things. God wanted him to be king when he was older. Wow! God chose David to be king and lead all the people. David was going to be in charge one day. He was going to be the next king. That is awesome! Samuel knew that God made him to do the big job of choosing the next king. And he knew God made David to be king and lead the people when he got older. God made us to do big things too. Hey there, Ollie. Tell me, who made you to do big things?
God made me to do big things. Yes, it's true. Now let's hear it from you. Tell me, who made you to do big things?
God made me to do big things. That's the truth, friends. You better believe it. Adios.
So there's your story, and it's all true. God made David to do big things, and he made us to do big things too.
Thanks, Ollie.
Goodbye to you. Ho, ho.
Wow, God made David to do big things. God made me to do big things too. I think I got the story. Did you get it? If you did, say got it. Get it? Good! I'm ready to be a super kid! Whatever the day brings, God made me to do big things. See you later, super kids! I'm off! Dun 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 dun!
Yeah! You know what's cool is that it's the Holy Spirit within us that is our cape. And we don't have to remember to put him on, like he's inside of us, and with him we get to do great things all day, all the time. I love how the story that Ollie brought to us kind of ties in our last sermon series with our new sermon series. We just finished a whole series on heroes of the faith. And it was all about ordinary people who God created and called to do big things, to do great things. And they did that, right? And so I want to pause right here and just remind or let our families know the kids can do their activity packs at the seat, or they can do them at the carpet, or they can do them at the back table. There's some toys out here. They're not in the camera shot, and they are not at all going to disturb me. So we're good to go there. So you guys, this is, again, it's family service. So we invite you to the carpet or the table or to be right beside your parents, wherever you're most comfortable. But with that, right? And us doing those great things and the heroes of the faith, we started this new series this last week as we are celebrating 1 year as a church, as we're celebrating what God has been doing through us, because he's called Bridge Church to do big things too. And so I got to tell you, let's see, do we have our... Oh, looks like we're restarting. So the new sermon series is called At Our Core, and it's all about our core values and making sure that we understand the biblical principles behind those core values. Can I just tell y'all, like, I'm the one who created the series, and it sounds boring to me. Like, let's study our core values, right? But I was reminded, it sounds not exciting and it sounds boring because it's just right now it's just words, and values are inanimate things that we can't reach out and touch. It reminded me of General Abizaid, who was a CENTCOM commander, and a lot of other military folks. You know, you hear on the news all the time that reporters will talk about boots on the ground. We need boots on the ground. We need this. We need 10,000 more boots on the ground. Well, military people really hate that phrase because those boots are inanimate objects, but there are people who have to be forward on the ground to protect our freedoms. Those boots represent the people. And so what I would say to you as we lean into At Our Core, it's not about the inanimate values, but it's about the people that they're connected to. You see, understanding who we are at our core and understanding that that comes from God's word, who we are as a church and where we will go is important because it will change how we interact with the lives that God has called us to interact with. It will change how we see the people that God puts in front of us to see, know, and love. Are we okay, church? So we're up for an exciting sermon series, not a boring sermon series, right? Like, so last week we started the series by looking at Jesus, by looking at the life of Jesus and who he interacted with, who Jesus saw, and how he valued them, and who he invited us to see. And today I want to explore that as we continue to unpack one of our core values, and I actually want to invite you to read it with me. We value, We value all people. We value handiwork of God. Wait, time out, pause. Let's just restart that whole thing. So I'll say, we value all people, and then we'll read it all together, okay? So we value all people as the handiwork of God created in his image. We are committed to helping all people understand that they are seen, known, and loved by God. So last week we really talked about the seen, known, and loved by God part of that. How we're committed to help people who walk through the door, who we, more importantly, who we encounter outside the doors of this building, know that they are seen, known, and loved by God. But I want us today to really unpack the first part of that, and it ties in so perfectly with our Bridge Kids theme and our bottom line that God created us to do big things. You see, the first part of that is we value all people as the handiwork of God created in his image. Ephesians 2:10, actually, I'm going to have her read with me again. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You see, we are God's masterpiece, and he created us to do these good things. Last week, we looked hard at what it meant to value others, but where God really put me today was not to just move on to the next value, but to really look at the first part of this verse and look hard on focusing on the fact that God values us, that God sees us. Because as hard as it is for some of us, before we worry about valuing others, we need to look in the mirror and learn to value ourselves. As hard as it is for some of us, we need to learn that we need to love ourselves before we can love others. You know, the great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said everything else hinged on, right? Can I get an amen? Like, that's what it all hinges on. So if I hate myself, then how do I feel about my neighbor? If I continually see myself as not enough, I can't measure up, I can't get past my mistakes, I'll never be like them, or I'll never be good enough, how am I likely to view my neighbor? If I am ashamed of who I am, then what value am I likely to ascribe to my neighbor? You see, we have to learn to love and value and see ourselves as God loves and values and sees us first, so that we can then extend that outward. Are we okay, church? So I want us to jump back into the passage that Ollie shared with us and Louise shared with us in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I want to give you a little bit of background. So Israel has their first king. It's Saul. That goes well for a little bit of time. And then Saul kind of turns his back on God and figures he's all of that and he can do it on his own and he doesn't need God, which is exactly what God warned the people, but that's a whole another sermon for another day. So, but with that, God has spoken to his prophet Samuel and said, it's time to go anoint a new king. Now Samuel's pretty scared at this prospect because Saul is still on the throne, and at this point Saul has gone power hungry, stark raving mad, and God says, you're going to go, you're going to offer a sacrifice, we're going to make this not look like what it is to everyone around you, but it's time for a change of command. Even before the person in the seat changes who's in the throne, it's time for my power to shift to another person. And so Samuel goes into this village. God told him to go into Bethlehem. And he goes to anoint, and he kind of goes in incognito, right? Like he goes in, you know, like kids, when you guys have a secret, like you're trying to keep a big surprise away. We want to keep the what's for Christmas. We want to keep that a secret. Like we kind of go in undercover. Well, he goes in undercover, and he says he wants to offer a sacrifice, right? But before we even jump into this passage, I just want to read to you verse 4 because I found it really amusing. It says, Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. God's servant comes in and they trembled when they met him. And the elders asked, do you come in peace? And Samuel said, yes, I come in peace. Guys, some of us have been so programmed that God is going to drop the hammer on us that when God comes or God shows up or God sends a servant to show up, instead of expecting the blessed best that God has to offer us, we are trembling in fear, waiting to get in trouble, waiting to get our hand slapped, and God's trying to hold our hand. We're busy waiting for God to yell at us, and God is trying to build us up. Even in correction, God is trying to walk us into the abundant life he has for us, not punish us. He's trying to grow us. And as a side note, y'all, every time I ask to meet with one of you guys, you're like, did I do something wrong? God's servant is not here to punish you. I'm here to have coffee with you. Pastor Rick is here to have coffee with you. No, but seriously, really, guys, when we have a problem, when we are struggling, or when we are just simply going through our day and we encounter God, remember how God sees you and expect God's best to come forward, not tremble in fear because you think something bad's going to happen. Does that alleviate some stress for some people? Like, it's okay. So the passage goes on. Actually, would you read this with me? When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. This is what we touched on in our story. Your core matters more than your cosmetics. Your faith matters more. My faith matters more than the facade I paint on my face, right? What is in my heart matters more than what is on my person. In that, can we just take a little lesson from Samuel? Like, today's story is just full of nuggets, right? Like, because what has happened is he shows up to present the offering. He tells Jesse to bring all his sons because he's going to anoint the next king. And the first one shows up, and Eliab is the strapping oldest son, and he looks, which is why Samuel thinks, well, this must be him. And God says, nope, not him. The passage goes on to say Jesse had seven sons pass before him, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. Can you be Samuel for a minute? Like, can we be there with all these young men passing before him? And God has said, I'm going to send you to Jesse. One of his boys is going to be king. I'm going to tell you which one. And so Samuel tells Jesse, bring all the boys. And he sees them all, and they're going in front of him line by line. Like, at some point, he must have thought, we're getting to the end. You know, I can do something with that one. Let me settle for this one. Let me settle for him and I'll train him up and it'll be okay. Guys, don't settle for less than what God has for us. Let's take a lesson from Samuel, whether that's in a spouse, whether that's in a job, whether that's in a boss, whatever it is, a career choice. Don't look at something and it's not what God told you he was going to bring you and you figure, well, you know what, I can work with that. I can make do with that. That'll work. Hold out for God's best, because that's what he's designed you for, is his best. The passage goes on after Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen these. And he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse says, well, they're still the youngest. One of the versions, one of the translations says, well, there's still the runt. Like, there's the youngest, he's the runt. That's what the real Hebrew means. Like, there's the little one. But he is out tending the sheep. Y'all, your value does not depend on the acknowledgement or affirmation of others. David's own dad dismissed him. David's own father decided that, I know you asked for the sons, but I know you can't mean that one, so I'm not even going to bother to bring him in out of the pasture. You guys, in our lives, sometimes people will disqualify us because of our position in the pasture. What's more, sometimes people in authority do not see what God has created in us, and they relegate us to the pasture because they think it's all we're good for. We cannot let our value depend on what others think of us. You guys, some of us have been there. Some of us get stuck there. Like, if we're going to really learn to see ourselves how God sees us, then some of us in this room have heard from our own parents, you're not enough. You're not going to measure up. You're not going to be, you know, this. Some of us have been elected, like, most likely to go work at the town garage for their career, right? And instead they ended up working in 42 countries, jumping out of airplanes and saving the world and being the best husband in the whole wide world, I might add. Woo, woo. But what they thought he should do was go work at the town garage, right? Others don't necessarily see what God sees. I didn't share this earlier, but there was a time when a leader that I really looked up to looked at me and said, you're just not a pastor. You don't have what it takes. What if I had listened to them instead of listening to God? Y'all are like, somebody else might be preaching. No, come on. I am doing what God created me to do. There is something God created you to do, and I can guarantee you the enemy has sent someone to talk in your ear and say, you know what? You're not good enough for that. That's not what you were made to do. You're just not going to do that. Can I tell you, shut down the voice of the enemy and listen to the God who said, I have called you. I have qualified you. You are not just enough in Jesus Christ. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. And P.S., the pasture with the sheep poo and the sweat and the hard work is most often God's training ground for what he has for us to do. Because can I tell you something, church? God will train us up having us toil in the pasture before he does sends us to go do something in the power of the palace. He has to do something in us in the pasture before he can do something through us in the palace. Are we okay? The passage goes on. I'm going to get back in my Bible. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons? And Jesse said, they're still the youngest, but he's out tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him, and we will not sit down until he arrived. It's like, you sit down, that hasn't changed in culture. You sit down when the guest of honor arrives, right? And in everyone's mind, Samuel is the guest of honor. He's the prophet of God. He's the one coming with the word. And Samuel says, the one you just called a runt, the one you just didn't even bother to bring. By the way, do you not think, like, I'm just thinking that as son 5 walks by and is not it, and certainly by the time son 6 walks by, I'm thinking, and just telling the servant, like, tug up, like, Asanji, go run get David, just in case. Just in case. And Jesse misses the whole thing. But he says, Samuel says, you go send for him, and we're not even going to sit down at this table until he gets here. Verse 12 said, so he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. David's own dad couldn't see David because he saw his perception of David, which was the little runt who wasn't qualified and didn't belong at the table. And yet scripture makes a point to tell us that isn't even the case. It's not just that David was young. Like, his dad thought he was ready and runt and not enough. And the scripture says he was glowing with health. And he had a fine appearance and handsome features. I love that the scripture puts health before handsome. Y'all, that's just a whole separate sermon some of us need to lean into. The scripture puts health before handsome. But anyway, can I ask how many young girls and how many grown women can't see their glowing health and fine appearance because they're so jaded by the anorexic and airbrushed models that we have allowed to become the picture of what beauty is supposed to be in our society? Raising our littles, whether you are a teacher or an auntie or an uncle or just the neighbor friend that goes on walks like I do all the time with Sydney, like, our kids need to hear they are fine and they are healthy and they are beautiful and they are wonderful, because society has this unattainable, unhealthy picture of who we should be. And ladies, that's not just for us. How many young boys are crushed by the words of an abusive father? How many grown men still are held back because they hear the words of an angry father telling them they are not enough? Or worse, or just as bad, they hear the silent echoes of an absent father who hasn't bothered to show up. Both condemn them to fear and failure. And God is saying, no. I have created you young men to be mighty men of God. I have created you young ladies to be warrior princesses in my kingdom. And you are not just enough. you are more than enough. I want to go back to Ephesians 2:10. We are God's masterpiece. We are his craftsmanship. We are his handiwork. We can get caught up a lot of times. Some of you will have heard preached and you're like, well, why aren't you saying we're his poem? Because the Greek is actually poema, which is the word that poem comes from, but poem didn't exist back then. I want us to understand the core of that word. It's the master artisan, what they would produce. That is what that word, that is what, we are what the master artisan God has created to be his very best and presented. That's who we are in Jesus Christ. Verse 12 goes on to say, as David comes in, then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. Our value is determined by our creator, not our condemner. Church, your value is not determined by what your dad thought or didn't think of you, or what your mom thought or didn't think of you, or what your ex-spouse thought or didn't think of you, or what your teacher said or didn't say about you. Your value is determined by your creator, and he says you are a masterpiece. Verse 13 says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. In the Old Testament, they had to wait for the Spirit to fall. The Spirit would come and go. But by the power of the blood, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we get to have the Holy Spirit indwell us always. As soon as we say yes to the eternal life that Jesus offers us, as soon as we say yes to the grace gift that God gives us, your future does not depend on your pedigree and your past. Your future depends on God's plans and God's purpose for you. And it is all empowered by a simple yes to Jesus. Can I get an amen? I feel like I'm supposed to linger there, and I'm minding our time because we're family service and they're doing awesome. But your future does not depend on your pedigree, which means your parents, or your past, which are your experiences and mistakes or not mistakes. Your future hinges on saying yes to the purpose and plans that the author and creator of the universe has written for you. We were created, guys, to walk in the very best version of the abundant life that God wrote for us. It is written and just waiting for us to step into. And far too often we are too busy looking over our shoulder at what was to step into what's in front of us and what will be. Too busy we're holding ourselves back because we're dismissing our own selves, looking at the world's ideals of what we should be instead of listening to what God says and saying yes and amen. We are letting the voices of our condemner speak louder than the voice of our creator. And I'm not saying it doesn't hurt when people say bad things. I am saying, look, there is some moment that David had to be like, there's a dinner party and I wasn't invited. All my brothers are here and they're looking a little smart at me right now. And I wasn't included. But embrace that, acknowledge that hurt, give it to God, and then step into what he has. Because valuing people, valuing all people, that's at our core, right? Who we are as a church. We value all people as the handiwork of God created in his image. Valuing people starts with valuing ourselves and recognizing who God has created us to be. Which takes us back to Ollie and the bottom line. Because we are God's masterpiece, and he has created us to do big things. We are God's craftsmanship. and if we're going to do those things, then it doesn't matter what I say or what I think about you. It matters what God says and that you believe it. So let me tell you. I thought this was cheesy, but I keep getting prompted, so I'm going to do it. Like, I was like, I'm not using that mirror. Look, I'm going to hide behind it. I want you to stop viewing yourself how the word views you, how the world has viewed you. I want you to let go of the shadows of your past, and I want you to hear me. I want you to look right here and understand that you are God's masterpiece. You are his craftsmanship. You are not defined by the mistakes of your past. You are not defined by what people say about you. God says you are more than enough in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. And in more than enough, when we value ourselves, then God can give us our assignment to go see and know and love, to go value and invite others into the value, the redemption that God has for their life. And to continually tell these littles that they are seen and they are known and they are loved, that they are valued and that they matter. And God has a plan and a purpose for them. And it doesn't matter what label we've been given or they've been given. God says they are the apple of his eye. Amen, church. Pastor Shelley, would you? Mary, would you come pray us out, please? Almost. Hiding back there.
Whew, that was a good word. It reminded me of this song we do where it talks about, I was made to do amazing things. And all of it, the entire song talks about how God just created me with this purpose, on purpose, with purpose, for a purpose. And I just absolutely love that song. And that's what kept coming through my head. But let us pray. Lord, we just thank you that you created us. And before we were ever born, you knit us together in our mother's womb, and you've called us here. You've called us for a purpose. So, Lord, I just ask that you would drown out the lies of the enemy. The lies that people have spoken over us. The lies our families have spoken over us. Would your truth just echo? Would you give us dreams and visions of what you have us to step into? And let us do that courageously and boldly. Holy Spirit, even now, for the lies that are rising up of, I can't do that. I am not enough. I'm not able. I'm not capable. I don't know how. Would your truth just break apart the lies now? Would you just shatter it? Shatter the lies and give us the courage to step into what you have for us? Just the next yes. Let us be so bold to say yes, Lord. Would we rest in you that we don't need to prove ourselves, that we don't need to be enough? You've already said that we are more than enough. You make us capable. We don't need to prove ourselves or the word dance and just comes. Like, we don't need to entertain the next person. We don't need to level ourselves up. Did you elevate us? It is just our yes. So, Lord, the lies that are in our hearts that we are believing, would you just expose them now, Lord? Lord, the insecurities that we feel, would you expose those? And Lord, we just lay them at your feet, and we ask you to take them that we would step boldly into what you say, that we don't need to figure it all out. We just need to give you our next yes. Would you tune our ears to hear your voice? Would you allow us, give us wisdom in making space in our day to just spend time with you so we can hear clearly what you have for us? And Lord, when the insecurities rise, would you just remind us of your truth, of your word? And will we cling to the hope that you've given us, the promise that you've given us? We thank you that you make promises and you don't lie. You're not a man that you should lie. Mm-hmm. We just thank you for that.
Thank you.
So Lord, as we continue to worship, let our hearts be open to what you have. Let us hear your voice. And just help us, Lord. Help us to be courageous to take the next step. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.